This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
12-4 Buffalo. Seems like everybody has 11-5, 12-4.
It's funny that you bring it up, Gino, as we welcome you on into the sports bar after hours. Danger and Battaglia here at ESPNRochester.com, the Radio.com app, and wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. I have to laugh because Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football basically nailed it. He always nails it. When he gets on something, he's on fire. And his thing last night, this morning from last night, that schedule guy is his favorite guy in the NFL. Schedule guy who prints out the schedule, gets his two highlighters out, and marks a win and a loss for his team every year that the schedule gets released, and then puts it on his fridge and keeps track of it. And without fail, every time schedule guy goes through the exercise, the team ends up 10-6. You could be the worst team in the NFL. You could be the Cincinnati Bengals, but if you're schedule guy for the Cincinnati Bengals, you're looking at last night's schedule and you have your team finishing at 10-6. And I thought it was funny because as the Bills' schedule got released, and as I was looking at it and thinking to myself, all right, you know, we knew that the schedule was going to be a challenge, but it lays out nicely for the Bills. There's no long stretches at any point in the season where you're on the road for too long or you're at home for too long. You got the bye there towards the end of the season. Everything lays out nice for the Bills, and you would assume, with the way it lays out, that the Bills will have a successful season. But even then, I'm like, 10 wins. It feels like 10-6. And when I look at the Bears' schedule, my team's schedule, I'm like, could be 10-6. Anytime you go through the exercise, you come out with the schedule, 10-6 is the safe play, and 10-6 feels like every team right now before you get your rosters finalized, before you know anything that's going on in reality, it's 10-6.
That's the beauty of the NFL, is that every fan base can hold on to hope that the league goes away now for months on end, and you kind of forget how the bad stuff, you know, that happened last year, whatever your favorite team. I kind of liken it to anyone's golf game. You remember the good shots, don't you? You don't remember, like, the 10 bad shots. So, yeah, if you hang on to the good things about your team and don't really focus on the weaknesses, yeah, you could talk yourself into a 10-6, 11-5. I'm just kind of snickering. Like, we are in a world now where it's just not the master strokes of the world. There was one report from ESPN that had the Bills at 12-4 this year.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is strange.
It is strange. It's a new day, and I think the Buffalo Bills are getting the respect that they have been working for. Now, I think it's a little premature to say that they're a 12-win team. I don't know that I see that in 2020. Just, you know, look, if we're being real, I know ESPN, 12. What this means to me is that Buffalo has become, well, like Jacksonville a few years ago. Everybody's darling. You know, every year there's a darling team that people will gravitate towards and think, oh, that's the team that's going to surprise people. And it's usually Jacksonville, right? Doesn't it feel like Jacksonville is that team that's going to rise up and surprise people? Or the Chargers could be the team that rise
Tennessee,
up.
Tennessee, I fell into that trap, the Titans a few times. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. I mean, and so, hey, congratulations. You made it out of the basement of irrelevancy in the NFL if you're the Buffalo Bills. And now you're actually a team that's commanding some modicum of respect from around the league. You're seeing it in how many primetime games they got, and now you're seeing it with some of the predictions being made in terms of how many wins they could have in 2020. I still think 12 is a stretch. I think 10 would be nice. 10 should be the benchmark. 10 should be the line that you're shooting for. That would be what you had last year. And by the way, and I know you pointed this out as well, 9 wins could win the division. You might not even need 10 to win the division, which is something you haven't been able to do in a long time.
Yeah, and there's so many variables with who knows who's going to get hurt. Who knows who is going to get hurt on the teams you play. I mean, if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't go down in week one, do the Buffalo Bills go to December and win in Pittsburgh last year? There's just so much out there. But, you know, it's fun. This is fun. It's like mock drafts. It's fun to speculate. It's fun to kind of envision how the season will play out. And for Bills fans, it's fun to be in the conversation, isn't it? It's fun to say, is this the year you take down the New England Patriots? Can you actually win a playoff game? Where do you fit in that puzzle of the AFC? Can you go contend with the Kansas Cities and the Baltimores of this conference? So to me, the way the schedule lays out, you couldn't ask for a better schedule. There is one caveat, though, and many media outlets have posted this, is that you can see the trapdoor, so to speak, that what happens, and I hate to bring up the COVID stuff, but what happens if we get to a, hey, players, we need to push this off, we need to move weeks. Well, you could, in theory, move the Super Bowl back to the end of February from all these reports we're reading. And then it gets interesting. Then maybe you move that Jets game, the opener, and you move that to the second week in January. And maybe then you have the week two game in Miami. Well, now instead of going to Miami in hot September, you're going in January in the second week. So there are so many unknowns this year. So when we're talking about this, we're just kind of going on the belief, the hope, I think hope is probably the better word, that we're going to have the schedule as it's laid out to us.
You got to love the schedule when you talk about the Buffalo Bills pre-bye, weeks 1 through 10. It's very easy to see this team being at minimum a 6-4, and you know, maybe even more likely a 7-3, possibly even an 8-2. End of the stretch after the bye that makes me a little bit nervous for the Buffalo Bills offense, Gino. When you talk about weeks 12 and beyond, you've got the Chargers at the 49ers. You host Pittsburgh, and then you travel to Denver and to New England. Those are some pretty tough defenses for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. All that being said, when you talk about Josh Allen in 2020, right now, before the draft, actually, you look at Josh Allen's odds for MVP, 66-1 pre-draft. So there's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of like 20 or so NFL players with higher MVP probabilities. But if the Buffalo Bills, do have the kind of season where they can rattle off 12 or 13 wins and they can live up to the expectation that a lot of analysts are labeling them as, you know, this darling of 2020, you can make some money with a Josh Allen as your MVP bet in the NFL.
Yeah, no question. At those odds, I'll ask you this question. Who's the best quarterback in this division? All right, you shouldn't take 2 seconds to answer that question. Brady's gone. It's not certainly not going to be Tua Tagovailoa. It's not Fitzmagic. Sorry, Sam Darnold. You're not quite there yet. Maybe that will change this year. And I have no idea what Jared Stidham or whoever in New England's going to trot out. The answer is Josh Allen. Josh Allen's the best quarterback in this division. So if Josh Allen wants to get paid in 2 years, this is the year that he's going to have to put out here. And at 66-1, that seems like if I were going to Vegas, that would be a lot of fun.
It's a long shot, okay? I'm not saying that I actually believe Josh Allen is the NFL MVP in 2020. I don't believe that. It's a long shot bet, and if you're trying to win some money, I think you could do worse than Josh Allen at 66-1 as your MVP in 2020. You know, think about this year. Think about last year at this time. It would be the equivalent of saying Lamar Jackson is going to be the NFL MVP last year at this time. You have a guy who's coming back with his offensive line intact, some additional weapons, and another year in Brian Daboll's system, plus now the confidence of knowing, as you just pointed out, that he's probably the best quarterback in the AFC East. And you know, how important is confidence to the play of a quarterback? It's everything. You have to have swagger if you're a quarterback. You have to have that leadership and that confidence. If you don't, well, then you're nothing more than Sam Darnold seeing ghosts out there.
or Rob Johnson with your eyes wide open running for your life. The MVP, just a little kind of sidebar here. I think it's Adrian Peterson, the last guy that was a non-quarterback to win the MVP. So if you just kind of laid it out, you know, who are the quarterbacks with the most potential in the league? The MVP is not going, it's going to go to the guy that exceeded expectation. And to me, yes, Lamar Jackson was very good last year, but he gets the MVP because he exceeded everybody's expectation. Hey, Rick, wow, look how good he is. So Lamar Jackson, if he puts that up again this year, well, he was kind of expected to. Is Football America really tuned into the potential for Josh Allen? And it may not come to fruition. I don't know. But that's what makes that 66-1 odds look very intriguing.
Absolutely. You're in the sports bar after hours. We appreciate you listening here at ESPNRochester.com. Mike Danger here. Gene Battaglia there as we're still basking in the afterglow of the schedule release from last night and our emergency podcast. Gino, when you look around the rest of the division, and I know Jeremy White from our sister station in Buffalo at WGR had some fun with this morning, predicting that the New England Patriots would finish the season 1-15. I had to guffaw audibly at that. I thought that that was a lot of fun. Again, the Buffalo Bills, by a handful of metrics and projections, are the team to beat in the AFC East. Will they be willing or will they be able to, live up to that expectation and, fend off any teams that might be willing to challenge them? Look, Miami is going to be better this year than they were last year. Last year, we kind of knew what they were. They were tanking. The Jets, it really comes down to will you get Sam Darnold? Will you get the Sam Darnold that you thought you were getting when you drafted him early a couple of years ago? Will Adam Gase not completely screw up his young quarterback? And the Bills have that stability, that continuity, which I think has people believing that they could be the class of the division.
Yeah, and the funner conversation to me is where do they fit in this conference? Can they actually get a first round bye? I'm not quite there yet. A lot would have to go their way. Kansas City, that's the team. They're the man. That's the guy you got to beat. And certainly Baltimore can pile up wins. I don't know what to make of Phillip Rivers and the Colts. To me, Indy is such a good team for everything but the quarterback. So I would have been interested to see the Colts go in a different direction at quarterback, because that guy last year was a turnover machine. But they're a team. And Houston, gosh, you do need a real GM. I'm sorry, that's going to catch up to them sooner or later. So the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East, I'm not quite there yet to say they're one of the top two teams, but certainly they should be a division winner, in my opinion, this year.
Do we put too much stock in Bill Belichick as a head coach when you consider that the majority of his success came with Tom Brady as his quarterback? A new day now with no Tom Brady. What kind of Bill Belichick will we see in 2020? What kind of New England team will he field in 2020 without the guy that he's going to be handcuffed to, married to for his legacy, like it or not, is going to be tied directly to Tom Brady? I don't know that he's going to have the capability of creating a new legacy with Jarrett Stidham.
Danger, you're wrong on this. You are wrong. Bill Parcells never won without Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of our time. Does that mean New England is going to rattle off 9 or 10 wins this year? I don't think so, but this will just be kind of an off year for them, and then he'll figure out the quarterback situation eventually. It's a new challenge for him, so I'm not ready to write off this guy. And yes, I know all the numbers of Brady with the Patriots and the Patriots without Tom Brady, but I do know that Matt Castle was the quarterback when they went 11-5 and they won the division. Matt Castle, it's not good. Got paid big dollars, okay? So am I ready to write off the New England Patriots just because Tom Brady is gone? I'd like to think that Bill Belichick knows what he's doing here.
I would say You know, you could say I'm wrong, and I'm not trying to, well, maybe a little bit. I'm trying to kick a little bit of dirt up in the face of the legacy of Bill Belichick. But in games, regular season games, where he has not had Tom Brady as his starting quarterback, Bill Belichick is a sub-500 coach. 54-63 in regular season games where Tom Brady was not his starting quarterback. Now, you bring up the Matt Castle year, sure. But Belichick, you know, got run out of Cleveland, wasn't able to get that, you know, thing going around there during 5 years there. And without Brady, I think it remains to be seen what he does in New England. I'm not necessarily sure that Stidham is going to be, that he's going to be able to get out of Stidham what he got out of Mac. I mean, you know what? Maybe, yes, he is, by all accounts, the greatest head coach of all time. But up to this point, it's been with Tom Brady, and I don't think that he's been able to do it all solely by himself.
Well, he you know, who have been the quarterbacks, okay? It was, and I'd have to look up what the first year was, what the record was, but Bledsoe is weighing down that record, right? So Belichick comes in, he's got Drew Bledsoe as his quarterback, and then you make the switch to Brady, year two, boom, Super Bowl champs. Since then, you had the Castle year. You had Garoppolo during Deflategate, and then, yeah, you had the Jacoby Brissett loss. Is that the last guy to start a quarterback for the New England Patriots other than Tom Brady, that weird 16-0 Bills Rex Ryan win? I think that's the case. So, it's a fun debate, and I'm not going to go and say that the Patriots – are going to be dead. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they somehow, I still have the Bills winning this division, but I don't think that New England is going to fall to, like, I think Jeremy was kind of tongue in cheek there, but
yes,
I don't think, yeah, I don't think New England's going to be this team that is going to be tanking this year, not with that defense.
All right, Gino, what else do you have on your mind that popped up today?
Well, you know, this report from Adam Schefter. So, sorry to bring the real world into here, but guess what? The economy's terrible. Everybody knows this. And, you know, we're going to have to gut it out this year. Well, whatever is made in the NFL this year comes to the cap in 2021. And if we're going to be facing this reality that some teams might not have a gate, guess what? Revenues are going to be down. That is going to be a fact. And we have grown accustomed to a world where just year after year, the cap is going up and everybody is making money. The NFL is an ATM. Just put the card in, the money comes out. Well, Schefter is citing sources amongst the owners that they are projecting the cap per team to go down 30 to 80 million. Whoa. Think about if you're a team that is up against the cap right now. Free agency might be null and void next year. Now, the good news is that the Buffalo Bills are run by a very smart man when it comes to this stuff, and Brandon Bean. Brandon Bean doesn't give out the lavish contracts. Now, the Bills have the luxury of not paying for the quarterback right now, and they're going to have to make a decision a couple years down the road. But it got me thinking about a few things here, Danger, and I'm going to throw two names past you, one being Tre'Davious White and the other being Dak Prescott. Let's start with Prescott. Did Dak Prescott completely play this wrong? I mean, you could not. Nobody could see what was going to happen in the future. But now, if the Dallas Cowboys are looking at their cap in 2021, guess what? His leverage may be gone. And the Cowboys may be making him out to look be the bad guy in this situation. But bringing in Andy Dalton for the 1 year at $7 million, I don't know if that actually gets done in the end. Bringing up Tre'Davious White, the Bills picking up the fifth-year option. No worries. He will be back. But when do you start the clock on negotiating a deal? Because I know you will contend that it's a very close kind of cousin to the running back position. However, what Tre'Davious White means to the Buffalo Bills and to that locker room, and that he was the first choice of Sean McDermott, people are going to pay attention to who gets paid. If I were representing Tre'Davious White, I would want to get this done now. So therefore, whatever's on the cap this year, you have room to make it work, because guess what? It's a fact. We just don't know how much the cap is going to go down in 2021. So I would anticipate that the next storyline that's going to be coming up is conversations about getting the long-term deal done with Tre'Davious White, because it would benefit the Buffalo Bills because you could manage the cap successfully next year. And it would benefit Tre'Davious White getting the deal done now and getting some cash in 2020.
I believe in paying your best players. And, you know, sometimes those players reside at cornerback. But I also think that that success at that position can be very fleeting. And you've seen it time and time again. The one guy that feels like he kind of bucked that trend in recent years is the guy that New England plucked away from the Bills in Stephon Gilmore. But you're going to see it with guys like Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib and Jalen Ramsey now. And the Rams, they make their money, but that success at the position becomes fleeting. And, you know, I think with every player, regardless of position, you want to buy low and sell high. Now, Trey White, you know, if you're a Trey White fan and you want Trey White to get paid, well, then, yeah, by all means, get that deal done now. You're rooting for that to get done now. But if I'm a Bills fan, what's best for the team? You know, wait as long as you can. Wait as long as you can because of the uncertainty. And if you're a team guy, you have to understand we're in a situation here globally that none of us were prepared for, and none of us know really how to get out from under. You know, if you want to cripple the organization, yeah, you can ask for the world, but we can't deliver on what exactly it is you're asking for. So I don't know that there is a rush to get Trey White. If you're the Bills, I'm certainly not saying, well, we got to get a deal done. Let's get a deal done now. If the worst case...
Look at it from this way, okay? If you're representing Trey White and you're being honest with yourself and you can go to Sport Track, you know the numbers, right? And you can see, all right, who might be in the market for my client next year and might be willing to pay? And then you factor in that, oh my gosh, these teams are going to have $50 million taken off the top projected, and I'm just throwing that out there. There might not be a lot of options. So the pendulum here has gone clearly on Brandon Bean's side, and maybe you get the sweetheart hometown discount deal. Maybe you don't have to break the bank for Tre'Davious White. I'm just throwing that out there, that the way I see this is if I'm an agent representing my client, I have to say, hey, here's the reality. We can roll the dice. We can go into the last year. I just don't know who's going to have the cap room to pay for you. I mean, that's going to be the reality.
I think if there's one thing that I can appreciate from The Last Dance is hearing Jerry Reinsdorf and his take on contracts. That basically, like, once we get a deal done, when you sign that deal, I don't want to hear from you. You signed a contract, you're a man, you honor the terms of that contract, and when it's time for a new contract, we will have that discussion, but no time before then do I want you knocking on my door asking for more money because you signed a deal. And now, you know, Trey coming in as a rookie, you don't really have a say in what your deal is going to be, but you do have that fifth-year option that the Bills have extended. There haven't been any surprises, and he's performed at a level where he can come in when the time is right and command top dollar, and the Bills will have to seriously consider paying him that. But I don't know that that time is right now. I don't know, you know, if you wait until the end of the season, it benefits the Bills to see what exactly you have in Trey White. God forbid there's an injury that hobbles him, or he misses time in 2020, or he just doesn't have the kind of season that you were expecting him to have. You know, we all kind of expect Trey White to be shut down in 2020 to only improve from his play in 2019. But I'm still thinking to myself, when I look back at 2019 and I think of that playoff loss to the Texans where Trey White held DeAndre Hopkins in check for one half of the football game, DeAndre Hopkins was a major factor in the second half. And if you're going to pay a cornerback to be, if you're going to pay him elite money, then he needs to be able to cover elite wide receivers. And there are going to be plenty of obstacles for Trey White to try and overcome. His play has been good, and he's going to get paid. I just don't know that there's a reason why you would do it right this second or before this season starts.
I'm putting out the idea that the Bills are going to have unbelievable leverage when it comes to this, because what you say there, I hear it, and I will acknowledge that all that makes sense. And then you add on top of it that this is going to be a a market in 2021, free agent wise, that it's just not going to be a lot out there for the most talented, you know. So for everybody, so like if you're Cam Newton, say for instance, and you're going to be on the year to year plan or anything like that, you're going to have teams that are going to be in serious cap trouble next year. So that's why if I'm Tre'Davious White, I'm making the call now. Let's get this done now. And
yeah,
and if you're Brandon Bean, you're gonna probably push it off. It doesn't benefit you all that much to do it right now.
Yeah, and this is where you have disputes, and this is where you see what kind of a teammate Tre'Davious White or any player in this situation is. I mean, you've got a season here. You don't want him going into the fifth year without that deal, but you have a fourth season here out of Trey White that you can really see. All right. We need to know what we are investing in over the course of the next 3, 4, 5 years, whatever that number may be. You know, are you going to be a Buffalo Bill, or is it going to be a situation where we sell you like a commodity and hope that, you know, we've gotten the best years out of your career while here in Buffalo?
Yeah. So, I mean, we really haven't had that kind of holdout storyline. So all these new things, and I, for the record, I don't anticipate that, but I want that in everybody in their back of their mind when you're talking about storylines coming up, the Trey White contract situation. That's going to be the next thing I think you'll hear about over the course of the summer.
Yeah, perhaps, but I would hope that the Bills are a smartly run organization, and that wouldn't be something that you'd be hearing a lot about, because you signed a deal. And yeah, you signed your rookie deal, but you've been playing under the terms of that deal. And when it's time to talk new deal, we will do that, but no time before. We will sell no wine before it's time, and we'll let it marinate as long as we can before we uncork that bad boy. All right. Interesting, Gino. And the idea also and I think Schefter put this out as well, that the schedule as it was released does allow for the NFL to have some flexibility in the case that they have to move some things around and you know, cancel some weeks or do whatever. They have the Super Bowl being the thing that is most flexible, that they can move it back a handful of weeks if needed.
Yeah, the bye week for him, you know, is the same opponent you have in week two. So that's the first fix there. Hey, you could move the week one game and put it the second week in January, and then week two, it's going into your bye, and then we're just going to play straight through. So, who knows what happens, but I let's hope for the best, buddy.
Yeah,
it's a good weekend here.
All right, here's to you and your team going 10-6 after the release of the NFL schedule. Good stuff, Gino.
Dude, you even said the Bears. You just acknowledged the Bears are not going 10-6.
Oh, I don't know if the Bears are going. Do I have to spell it out for you? I mean, you know, I have reason to feel optimistic about the Chicago Bears this year. It's the season of optimism. You know this.
Oh, you're all Nick Foles now.
Nicky Franchise.
Nick Foles.
Nicky Franchise. Yeah, of course. Nicky Franchise. As long as Nicky Franchise is playing for the Chicago Bears, they have a chance. Do I have to lay it out? I'll lay it out, Gino. Nicky Franchise, Super Bowl MVP, record for most touchdowns in a single game. Pro Bowl MVP, record for most consecutive completions, the record for playoff quarterback rating. He's a good-looking man, he's a God-fearing Christian, and he has a huge dog. I am confident that the Chicago Bears will finish at least 10-6 with Nicky Franchise. Come on, Gino.
Who would you rather have? BD Foles or BDN or Philip Rivers?
Big Dong Foles? Is that BD Foles? What are you talking about? Or Philip. Yeah, I want Foles. Foles is the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicky Franchise. Let's go, Bears. 10-6, at least.
Where else but other than the sports bar do you get this insightful commentary along with wit?
That's what we do. Hey, and by the way, Gino, I cracked my lawnmower beer. I had a Ruby Red right before the show, so you know it's a special episode here in the sports bar after hours.
Ooh, cutting the grass on a 40-degree day, so I'm going to push it off the next week here,
Gino, enjoy your weekend. Happy Mother's Day to the executive producer as well.
I will pass that along. Danger, happy Mother's Day to Sandy, and you be well this weekend.
You got it. The Sports Bar After Hours. We appreciate you listening here at ESPNRochester.com, the radio.com app, or wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. Hope you have a great weekend. We will return Monday with another episode here in the Sports Bar. Stay healthy, and thanks for listening.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.